Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, these are amazing times that we get to witness right here, right now. And thank you for putting us right here, right now. Lord, help us to live faithfully to you as we go through life. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, I do think about the history of humanity sometimes, and I think about the people that have wondered what tomorrow holds, and they didn't know, just like we don't know, what will happen tomorrow. But we all want to look and try to guess what's going to happen tomorrow so that we can prepare for it. Well, we know that at one point we will meet Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And so we want to be ready for that day. Now, because you're listening to Christian radio right now, and a broadcast called Christ Today, probably you are a born-again, Holy Spirit-filled Christian through Jesus Christ. Yes, and that's great. And if you're not, then welcome to Christ Today. Well, people always have had something to seek and to desire. And we find out that one of the things that we seek and desire is our born-again relation with God, Jesus. That's something we learn as we go through life, and we recognize how valuable it is, and there's really nothing like it to be a born-again Christian. So we learn that because we learn that that is the ultimate truth in life. There is no truth that is greater. So, Heavenly Father, we have so many things in our heart and in our mind, and we ask you to help us to see what there is in our heart and our mind so that we can be faithful to you and bring the people around us to salvation if we can be useful in that way. Lord, there's just a lot of things that are going on with the people around us that we know, that we love, and we want them to know Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray for those people right now who need to know Jesus or need to know Jesus better. And then may we be a faithful witness when it ever comes to that, if we ever speak in that way to those people. Well, many people are just seeing all the things going on in life, and they are very uncertain about what is going to happen. Well, yeah, me too. I see the things going on, and I wonder what's going to happen, because there's questions all over the place for within our country and for within our world, the international relations that are going on. And we do want to be ready for whatever's going to happen. I think of preparedness for that. And so that's why I like to talk about preparedness, because we don't know what's going to happen. And whether we do or don't, we would like to have some preparedness for what's going to happen and what we just might need. And of course, the most important thing is a way to get water clean and food. Most important thing is your relationship with God. And just that's something that we can always look back and rely on, our relation with God, a God who loves us more than we can even imagine. After all, he sent his Son to die for us on the cross so that we did not have to. A sacrifice for our sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we do look at all the experiences that we have in life, and we wonder about the troubles that are coming and how to prepare for getting past them and just to be comfortable when we have difficulties. Not easy, but it is in a way easy because we have so many things in life now. I know there are people who look and say, wouldn't it be nice to have lived in a simpler day, in a simpler time? Maybe they want to be living 100 or 200 years ago, and they think they would be happier? Well, I don't know about that. When you look at the people who didn't know what was going on in those days, and they didn't know why people got sick, they didn't know how to deal with a toothache or a stomachache. Well, they kind of did and kind of didn't. But the point is there was a lot of knowledge that was not available to them. But we have that knowledge today. We even have that internet thing, which is so amazing. We can ask all sorts of questions and find all sorts of information. Well, we can have things for understanding and knowledge about everything from a building to engineering to biology to medicine and math and physics. All those things in 150 years ago, well, we just didn't have them. I remember there was an observation that 150 years ago, if a man traveled faster than he could go on a horse, he would die from lack of oxygen. After all, he couldn't breathe. That was the belief at the time. If you went faster than a horse could carry you, the air would rush right past you and you couldn't breathe. So you would die. How interesting. See, this is how knowledge has increased so much completely. But there are things that we used to believe as a society, and I'm so grateful to be living today with all the knowledge that we have. It's just plain wonderful. And I do think of the greatest truth, which is God, the Bible, and Jesus. And I want my friends and family to know more about God and the Bible and Jesus. And what can we do? We can always pray for the people. I think that's something we always can do. Just to have a moment of prayer and remember the people who we are concerned about, that they have that personal relation with God, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Well, in the olden days, all sorts of things were different. Everything was different. Oh, you know, one of the things that was different, I would suppose, was there was always a presence of death, in a sense, because in order to eat, people needed to kill. And that's one of the things they did. And they also were closer to a situation where somebody would be dying. And the nearness of death that a person would experience would also get somebody to be thinking about life and the afterlife. And we don't have that so much today. We don't have the presence of death around us to help us to think of life and the afterlife. I think of all the things we do have, though, today. We have distractions. We have all sorts of things, our little lusts, our little attention getters, of course, our jobs and our personal relationships. And those things, if we don't watch out, they will drive us further away from thinking about God. So we have to make our relation with God intentional and really to make it come about for us, and yes, to remember the other people in prayer. As we care about the other people, we sure do. Well, we have things going on in the world that are distractions, too. Of course, I think about wars and rumors of wars, and we have what's going on with the sanctions against Russia that were done by executive orders. And I do think it's interesting that we have these things going on against Russia, but we've had 2 months where every week the stock market has dropped. That has not happened since 1932, where there have been 2 months of every week a drop in the stock market. And, of course, we have the sanctions in place on Russia. Does that have anything to do with it? I don't know, but I do wonder what those businessmen that are around, what they would know that we don't, because they're the ones who are, in effect, dropping the stock market. What are we going to do? Well, we have a lot of things that could bring pain to all of us. The pain of having the things not available. And we did that with the storage, the shipping containers that are not coming from China right now. That's a big thing. And I do think that that is as though it were a act of war in a sense, because we are being cut off due to the virus that's over there. And so we can see that we could have a shortage of anything, and we ought to watch out for that too and have our supplies. We do have the gas shortage. That's one thing that is affecting us. It's driving up the prices. It seems so certain that we're going to have $5, $6, maybe $7, $8 a gallon gasoline, and more than that for diesel. The gasoline stations on the East Coast have reset their computers so that they are able to charge double digits for their gas and their diesel. What's going on with these sanctions and the situations we're getting into? I don't know, but the inflation doesn't seem to be slowing down one little bit. I still wonder, did we really have to shut down the Canadian XL pipeline? Well, somebody made an executive order to do that. We can only guess what will happen next. And we do want to just be aware of the shortages that could come. We all know the food shortages that are right here. We have the baby formula running out, and we are thankful to Australia, who sent a shipment of baby formula to the United States. We've got things happening, and we better look at how we could each be affected in some very significant way. There's a lot of things that could change our life in a real big way, really quickly, really quickly. Do we know what'll happen? Of course we don't. But we do know that things can happen quickly, and we ought to be prepared. There's a lot of forces that are going on right now, just trying to drive us into, really it's control. And that's done by different ways. When we run out of money, that's one way to control us. And that's something right now going on. That, yes, we all feel that one. But seems to be a plan for us to run out of money. It's the World Economic Forum that is talking about those things, and they are meeting this very week in Davos, Switzerland. We can really only guess what is in store for us. There are secret plans. There are things that are not talked about, but we find out later that the events that have gone on really have been orchestrated, and somebody had a plan to do them, and a number of people agreed with the plan, and they carried it out. So what are we in store for? Well, oh boy, that's a hard one, because it's so serious that we just can't think that there really is a plan to cause shortages and even decrease the population of the world. It's too astounding to make it real and to have it thought about how it could be undertaken. But there are people who've talked about it. I know I remember hearing people on video 30 years ago. They talked about it, and they were determined. They were people who really cared about the Earth, and they wanted to save the planet Earth from people. So it is an example of how we must be aware that we really do have enemies. Enemies, yes, in people, And yes, of course, the biggest one is the spiritual enemy that we have. It's Satan. He is our enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal our hope, kill our bodies, and destroy our future. Well, that's the way I think of it. And somehow, if we want to be prepared, we have to be able to get supplies, or food and supplies. And pretty much that means we are going to have to sacrifice what we normally get so that we can get the things that we want. And that's not easy to say, I'm going to do without so that I can get my food and supplies. But you have to look at it and see if this is a priority for you. We all have a different priority, and some of people it's just to live day to day and have as much pleasure in each day that they can have. And we all make the decisions. I'm not going to make your decision or find fault with it either, but I would ask you to do that with me, for me too, so that you can understand why I would want to have the basic foods put aside in a water filter and a few other things. But we all have a different idea. One of the things going on right now is that, it's giving control of our country to the United Nations World Health Organization, so that if there is a world epidemic, that we allow them to control us so that they can stop the world and pandemic or epidemic. And that's a part of what there's a movement to right now. Right now, there's a movement to get all the heads of states to agree to let the UN World Health Organization to be in charge of the health of that nation. And that means if we agree with that, and Joe Biden has been making agreeable sounds to it, speaking like it's a good thing, that means we will be giving up control of our nation to an international body. What do you think of that? I know that Australia feels the same about that, and that Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister, has been saying just the same kind of things. He wants the United Nations World Health Organization to take control of their country just in case there is a global pandemic. He is making steps right now so that Australia will be already lined up to be controlled by the UN WHO. He has some interesting videos. If you wanted to look up the Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, it is pretty interesting how New World Order he is. He certainly does not care about Australia as much as he cares about the New World Order. And we have people like that all around the world. People say that Biden is one of those people too. And if you look at what he has submitted to the UN WHO, I guess it was back in January. And that's something that's going on right now, and we can't be sure exactly how it's going to turn out, but we know how it will happen if we have no interaction, if we have no resistance, then the enemy will simply move forward. Oh, that's right. What is necessary for evil to thrive? It is for good men to do nothing. Well, it's a reminder. We don't even know what the exact things that would go on would be. But higher fuel prices, of course. Higher everything prices, of course. It's just, if you think back to the number of people that were put on lockdown, yeah, in Australia, but right now in China too. 1/4 of China population is locked down where they cannot leave their home. And it's been like that for 2 months. Could that happen here in the United States? Yes, it could. If we are going to give control of our health concern, health care for a global pandemic, then yes, it could happen here in the United States by the United Nations order, or should I say the World Health Organization order. It's happening right now. We have a chance to have an input, but we also have those powerful forces going on that are pushing us right to being a powerless people. Another one of those things going on in Australia, there's the province of Victoria. The governor, I'm not sure if they call him governor or call his title a little different, but that's in effect what he is. Don Andrews is his name of Victoria province. And what's going on there is just incredible, that he has proposed this to the parliament there. And it's in its second reading right now, so it is rapidly moving forward to happen, to make growing your own food illegal. Sound too impossible, doesn't it? It can't be. Making your own homegrown food illegal? Well, yes, that's the proposal. And that they, authorities, may confiscate any homegrown food that they find, and the home or property owner would be required to pay for its disposal. Another thing is that the food police would not need a warrant to search a private property. They would not even need to identify themselves. Pretty amazing, isn't it? That's going on in Victoria Province in Australia. It's just too hard for us to believe that that could really be happening. But it is. And you know how much resistance is going on. Those Australians, in many cases, are going out to the streets and protesting. And you know what happens to them? The police come along, and in some cases, the police take out their rubber bullets and shoot the protesters. It's just something else. And you think it couldn't go on here? Why? Because we're America, right? Well, I don't know if it could go on or not, but it's something that we certainly have to be aware of and prepared for the just in case. And if it were to happen, I just wonder how many people would actually protest. Or would we just say, well, the government tells me to do it, and they know what's best for the people? I just wonder how many people. And I think of those people who protested in Australia, how the police fired rubber bullets at them. Well, here in our country, what would we do? We have people who want to be in control of the people, and if it's complete control, that is called a tyranny, a tyrannical government. And we wonder what our government is doing. We always have. And we wonder, does Joe Biden really even have the power to give control of how we would treat a worldwide epidemic? The way to prevent that, the steps to prevent it, would we allow the World Health Organization to tell us what we are going to do in America? Well, it's something that's going on right now, and we just have to wonder what is going on. I guess another one is, what would we do if that became our law? Would we say, well, we're a country of laws. Of course we're going to follow the law. Or are we going to say, our country is a country with a great tradition of protesting, and there's the British Boston Tea Party, and are we going to do something like that? Well, I sure don't know. All I know is there's things going on that are really concerning. And we have to make sure that we are going to speak up and say something to our representatives so that we don't lose the rights and privileges that we have. I think we have to be very careful to talk to our office holders, the people who represent us. Definitely, sure, a part of it is voting, but a part of it is almost like our votes don't matter anymore. It's just amazing what's going on in our beautiful country of United States of America. When the whole world is moving closer and closer into a direction of being contained and controlled. That is, the people are being contained and controlled. And they mean of every single person. And will it be our turn in America? It's heading that way. And we have to just contact our representatives so they know what we think. Well, we cannot imagine the day when it would be illegal to grow our own food on our own land. Well, like I said, those kind of things are things that can happen. We don't want those Australian land laws to happen in America. So we have to really be watchful. The people who want to impose those rules on us, they are watchful for every opportunity to impose the rules on us. Of course they are. That's their plan and their purpose. And so we have to remember that being a free people is not free. The price of that is eternal vigilance. That's what Thomas Jefferson said. And so we have these things right in front of us that could really, they could restrict us so greatly. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, we have the first thing we can do is to contact our representatives and to vote. And that's the first thing we can do. But we do have this question. I raise it. I know I think about it, is what about the sin in our land? Sin. Anything that goes against the will of God, Christ Jesus. And that's a pretty simple definition. It's not that there are any of they have to be the Ten Commandments sins, but they certainly could be. Those are a part of what goes on with sinfulness too. We do have to be concerned with knowing what God likes, and we get to have that knowledge by reading the Bible. The Bible helps us to know a great many things, but it also boosts up our faith and obedience, and that's something we can always pray for, is faith and obedience. Yes, for us, and yes, for the other people. Faithfulness is so great. Obedience is great. Obedience to God, John 5:3. Well, I just think of those things, and I just hope you do too. I'm sure you hear that there's people who say it so definitely that Christ could return at any time. And while I want to say, yes, that is true, Christ could return at any time. He did talk about, the Bible talks about what would have to happen before Christ's return. And we get to try to understand what that means. And understand it, and part of it is interpretation too. It's not set so clearly that we can just know it. But we do know what the signs are, and so we have a pretty good idea of when Jesus is returning. And I think we would do very well to ask for God's understanding and his mercy to understand, yes, the end times and the events of things, but also the Bible. Yeah, understand that. We want to understand the things of God. We want to live godly and holy. You know, that's the thing we want to do. If we were going to die, when we are going to die, I would imagine we will look back and say, oh, I wish I had lived a holier life. Well, we do those steps every day. Every day we take the steps to live a holy and obedient life. And we can only guess what we do. But we want to have our conscience to say that we know that what we're doing is living a righteous life. I think that would be good for all of us to reflect upon. But so often we get the other things that are getting our attention, like what's going on in Ukraine, will there be a nuclear war? And yeah, it seems like that's a very, very good chance. I'll talk about that in a minute. Ooh. Well, there's a lot of questions about what will happen and if we will actually go through the Great Tribulation or not. And I think it's interesting that the people in the last 2,000 years have thought that the Great Rapture happens after the Tribulation, but it doesn't mean they were right. After all, we have more information. Does that mean we know better or not? I think of that the man who observed gravity, Sir Isaac Newton, and what I think about him was he was a man who wrote more books about theology than he did about science. He was a theological guy. He was a mathematician also. And I think it's so funny that he calculated the return of Jesus to be about the year 2060. So are we really way off to say that Jesus could come anytime? Or would it be more like 2060? Well, I surely don't know. I'm not going to tell you I have an opinion, because I really don't. All I know is both that it could happen anytime, and it could happen much further away than we are expecting. The whole thing is we want to be able to make it through a time of difficulty so that we can see the glory of God appearing in all his splendor. Yes, lots going on, and there's a lot of things to distract us. And a lot of this distraction is, of course, the work of the enemy, because Satan does want to distract us so that we don't pay attention to the things of God. Remember I was saying earlier that with death being removed from society, we don't think about death so much. We don't think about the animals that are slaughtered and die that way. We don't think about the death of our loved ones, because we don't see that. They go into a hospital, and maybe we go visit them, but mostly we don't see that death. It is not present. And so we don't think about the matters that relate to death. And that includes God, Jesus, and living holy and obediently. Well, like I said, we have a world that is heading a certain way. Does that mean we are going to say, yes, Mr. Government, we will obey you, and we want your reasoning to be what tells us what to do? Or are we going to think that we have an opinion that matters? Are we going to think that we have a right to live a certain way as a free American person? Question, question, question. And I guess the other question is, if you believe it, what are you going to do about it? I mean, you saw how America all wore their masks when they were told to. We saw how Americans all limited the number of people in a store when they were told to. So are we going to just be good, obedient citizens? Or wouldn't it be better to be obedient to God? And in order to be obedient to God, you have to ask, what does God want? And the best way to learn that is to read His Word, the Bible. That's a good idea. And the Bible's a good book to read. Yes, it teaches you a lot. It lets you look at human relations, and it's just great. But do remember to pray for the people, especially the ones who are unsaved, or the people who need help, or the people who are leaders, like the pastors of America. We have a lot of people who need a prayer support. And I hope you remember that prayer support when you pray. Just a little prayer. It doesn't have to be much of anything. You can pray for your people in the church, people in government, the farmers, somebody who is nice to you. There's a lot of people you can pray for, and it just takes one simple prayer. What it's going to be is for you to choose, but I'm going to encourage you to make a little prayer for a whole lot of people. We have so many things going on with our rights, and are we going to give them away? We want our rights, yes, but look at the rights that we are claiming, the right to protest, maybe even the right to, what's that called? When we people destroy, riot, and steal out of stores. I mean, is that something we have the right to do? Not according to God's law. Well, we have these things for America, and we must consider, what are we going to do about our freedom and our rights? I know that too many people think about being raptured and then getting out of the mess that they are in. Yeah, we all have a little mess, or some of us a lot of mess, and we all do wish we could go to that heavenly place, but are you ready to make that decision according to the life that you've lived? Well, I hope you, if you haven't, I hope you readjust your life patterns, your living patterns, and become the person that is going to make it into heaven. That's really what we want. Well, we want to obey God, God who loves us so very much. It's even hard to believe that God could be so loving to us, even when we're not obedient. He still loves us, but we still get the consequences for our choices, I think. Sure. So what is going to happen, and what's going to happen with the choices that we make? Weigh that one out, because the things that we do when they're not godly, when they're not holy, they are trouble. And those troubles will bring consequences upon us. If we do something that is not what God wants us to do, then there are consequences. It's very interesting to me, videos that we can watch all over the internet. A lot of them we can watch. There's one I'm thinking about right now, which there was a fellow named Daniel. He was a young boy, I think he was 13, and he was 15. And he clinically died, you know, on the table, and he came back to life. And when he came back to life, he had a vision. And that vision, he recorded. Oh, yeah, so you can look it up. There are several people who have made the recordings of it. Some of them were just his words with the Hebrew in, what do they call that? The words are across the street, screen of the what you're watching it on. So anyway, the 15-year-old secular Jewish boy who had a clinical death and came back to life, and he was questioned by the rabbis, and they found his experience and the things that he could tell them about to be real and genuine, which, again, that's just astounding that a secular 15-year-old boy would have things that lined up with the Jewish religion. Well, it's a part of his testimony that says that Jesus will be revealed to everyone in the world when Jesus returns. And yeah, you can look up that if you want. It's interesting to me. I think the big things that I saw about that video, the biggest one was that there was going to be a World War III. And when you see the events of today, you are not surprised that somebody would say there could be World War III. But if you go back to that time, I don't think anybody thought we were going to have a World War III. Was it 78, I think it was? So another thing that Nathaniel said was that the little good things that we do are going to be so wonderful and noted in the afterlife. It would be just celebrated that we did such good things. And on the other hand, the bad things that we did in life would be really noticed about how bad they were. So it made him want to live to be doing the good and the best things after his vision. Let's see, I think I said this, that he said war is getting ready to happen, that it's brewing, and that it's going to happen. And now we can see it with the situation in Ukraine, how we really could have a nuclear event, a nuclear war. Just any day, it could happen. But you also can look at the things that are going on today with hunger. When so much of our population does not have enough food to eat right now, but the world's population is far worse than we are. They are really, really in a perilous position where they're just, starvation is coming about because the wheat crops, many of the crops have not been successful. They've been harmed. And so it just looks like the hunger, world hunger, is so close at hand, and we want to do what we can about that. What, does that mean we're going to send our food to the rest of the world? Well, yeah, I think we'll do a little bit of that. But the big thing I think we do is look after our family, and we get food for our family. Maybe you consider our family our church family. If you do, that's great. Our family is our church family. And how are you thinking to take care of them? To have a little extra food, a little extra grain? Sure, that's a great thing. I hope you also have a good water filter. What we would need in the way of food and supplies is actually endless. Often I think of gardening as being a very good answer to what we need to do. Garden, so we need garden tools and heirloom seeds. It's just one of the things that we are going to do to prepare properly for whatever it is that is coming. And yes, we listen to people who talk about maybe they're prophetic visions, and maybe it's like this guy Nathaniel, who had a vision or an experience, I don't know what it really was, when he died on the table. Oh, it's just all very interesting. And somehow we get to know that these things are real in our life. There is a real food shortage. And now what are you going to do about it? Right. That's really the bottom line of the question. What are you going to do about it? Things apparently are going to continue to get scarce, expensive, and rationed. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to try to live and let your family survive a little while longer? If you do that, you're going to need a few things. And the biggest one that you're going to need, for sure, is food. So, yes, think about that. Make it happen. In my way of thinking, with the shortages that are going on, it's almost too late to get prepared. Well, of course, it is never too late. But if you look at how things were a year ago, it will feel like it's too late, because a year ago there were supplies that you could get. There were not shortages like there are today. But you have to make this decision for you and your family. What are you going to do? Are you going to get your food and your supplies? It's almost too late. Almost. Of course, it's never too late, because whatever we do is going to be helpful, even if we just get a few pounds of rice and other grain. Everything's good, but the days are gone when you could go into the store and get 50 pounds of wheat. Now they limit it to 20 pounds, or 25 pounds, basically. It's not easy. Things are changing. And we have a lot to figure out. What is going to happen? Or what are we going to be able to do to get prepared? I don't exactly know. I really don't. It'll be different for each one of us. But I am sure that if you don't get prepared, it will be too late very soon. Our life always has a lot of surprises and variations in it. And when we think, could we actually have hunger and famine among the people we know? Yeah, we sure could. Just look at what people have. What do they have to sustain themselves? Not much. So yes, these things can happen, and they can happen in very quick order. It's another real reason to get prepared for the just in case. I can't tell you what's going to happen. But there are a lot of prophecies, you know, modern-day prophets who say this or that's going to happen. There were prophecies from 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Similarly, they told you about what they saw as in the future. Now, God allows the things to change, as far as I can tell. But is there a revival in America? Not that I see. So that makes it more likely that we're going to get a situation that none of us can guess. We don't know. Only God knows. But we can use our reasoning and see. If you want to listen to the prophetic people, they say the same kind of thing. What the sensible Gentiles say, that war is coming, famine is coming, shortages are coming. Maybe that means you should get what you need, including paper and pencil. If you're going to do homeschool, you're going to need paper and pencil. And books, and how-to books, how to repair a water heater or a plumbing line or whatever it is. And then have some of the things on hand, which would include a little bit of lumber, a little bit of plywood, and a saw, and hammer, and nails. Sure. Too simple, isn't it? But how many people have done it? Look, give it some thought about what you might want to do to prepare for the just in case. Meanwhile, we're going to do what God tells us to do, and we're going to be so grateful that we can live for God. that's a part of what we do as a Christian people. Sure, there's people who think that hellfire has made them turn to Jesus. Well, I guess that's okay for them. But I think if we look at the absolute amazing love that Jesus has in his heart for you, Jesus and Heavenly Father. So, you'll get to figure out what to do with that information, and I hope you do it before it gets too late, because every day it is one day shorter to whatever's coming. And yeah, I don't know what's coming, but I sure look at what evidence I see. I listen to the people, both the prophetic people and the worldly people, and they say we are going to have shortages more and more. Everything's going to be chaotic. So if that's the case, think in advance of what you need. Write them down. Write it on a list so that you can organize the list to what is most important and least important. But at least that way you will have your list of the things that you want to have on hand. We do want to live that Christian life that is where we are holy in the eyes of Jesus. I don't know that we can do it, but we will try. And for teaching people what is holy, you just might want to get a few inexpensive Bibles, or maybe get them at a thrift store or something. Maybe they have them, and you could just get a few used Bibles. And there, for somebody who hasn't read the Bible, all those things are so good. Their own Bible and the truth of God's Word. That's wonderful. Well, we have things happen in life, and we can only guess what we're going to do about them. It's a wonderful thing to have a community that prays together. And that might be your church. That might be another Bible study group or something. Always different. But I want to just urge you to think about how you can do that. How can you live a more holy life? Well, do you know what holiness means? Well, look it up in the Bible. Look it up on Google. The thing is we have a lot of information available. You have to apply yourself to get the information. I want you to know that all the things that are on Christ Today, you can look at again by going to www.christtoday.org. All the past broadcasts are available, and if you would like my free preparedness pamphlet, it is, I ask you to write me with a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember that I would think about the love of God and not the hellfire. You see, a lot of people get afraid and they come to Jesus by hell. And, well, maybe that's appropriate. I don't know. But I think it is always important to remember how much God loves us. And we ought to be afraid not of hellfire, but ought to be afraid of displeasing our Father in heaven who loves us so very much. Now, isn't that a little different approach to just the love that God has for us? Yes, it is. Let's remember that. I'm always glad to have your prayers, and I hope you pray for many other people. And remember, you can go to this website, www.christtoday.org, and look up any past broadcast. And if you would like my free preparedness pamphlet, please send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope, and I'll get that right back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And a lot of people are thinking about preparedness, and they're planning to do things to get prepared. But if you have nothing, you're not prepared. So I urge you to actually do something, to take those steps, to get prepared for the just in case. Pray for other people, and God bless you.